The epistle appointed to be read for this, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, these things came to pass as examples to us, that we should not lust after evil things, even as they lusted. And do not become idolatrous, even as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, even as some of them committed fornication. And there fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and perished by the serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them murmured, and perished at the hands of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as a type, and they were written for our correction, upon whom the final age of the world has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. May no temptation take hold of you but such as man is equal to. God is faithful and will not permit you to be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also give you a way out that you may be able to bear it. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when Jesus drew near to Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known in this thy day, even thou, the things that are for thy peace, but now they are hidden from thy eyes. For days will come upon thee when thy enemies will throw up a rampart around thee and surround thee and shut thee in on every side and will dash thee to the ground and thy children within thee and will not leave in thee one stone upon another because thou hast not known the time of thy visitation. And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling and buying in it, saying to them, It is written, My house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, this morning I wish to place a little stress on a couple of the announcements, and one, of course, is the one concerning the consecration of the altar, which is to take place on September the 8th. I think it's a Wednesday, and I repeat, It is a rather lengthy ceremony, but something once in a lifetime type ceremony. You will never see another time, another opportunity to see this. Neither will we. And if any of you are able, then you may not be able to stay for the whole ceremony, but at least come for part of it to get an idea of what it is about. This morning, for the first time, we are presenting to you in the bulletin just a kind of a preview of the day that we wish to dedicate to our Blessed Mother on October the 10th. I want this to be a kind of a Marian day, a day that's going to be completely dedicated to the Blessed Mother. A day of penance, a day of recollection and and mortification and prayer. It's a type of it's a special kind of day, and one that I think we should pray for. And I ask us all to begin prayer now, today, even today, for the success of this occasion. Not that we're looking for a pretty occasion, one that is attractive and well done. I think that here we are accustomed to such occasions. We do them the best we can. They're not always the best, but as good as we are able to. But we certainly are not unfamiliar with that sort of thing here. So we're not concerned about how pretty it's going to be, or how lovely it's going to be, or that it is. We're rather and only to be concerned about the prayerfulness of it, the goodness of it, the reparation of it, that Almighty God and the Blessed Mother would be given glory on that day. And that they, the Blessed Mother, on that day will give us the protection that we need individually and collectively. In these days, bitter days of our lives and a period of our history, we do not yet know that much here, at least, concerning the Blessed Mother, and we become accustomed to the title, which is unfamiliar to us, of Our Lady of the Cape. I won't go into the story of that this morning, but this is a place in Quebec, and there has been no apparition to take place there, but some very astonishing things have taken place there. And as I've told you before, we are, through the kindness of someone who is sitting in this church right now, and I won't mention the name, we have fallen into the possession of one of the statues. We have every reason, in the beginning there were 11 statues made from the original statue of the Blessed Mother under that title. And we have much reason to believe that this statue that we have been given is one of those original 11. And we're going to crown that statue on that day here in this church with solemn coronation services. So let us pray to the Blessed Mother. It's an interesting story which will be coming out to you a little bit at the time, and we become that we'll become familiar with it. Our Lady of the Cape de Madeleine, St. Madeleine in Quebec. And it's a very beautiful and a very lovely story. So with God's help, we will give honor to the Blessed Mother on that day. And it's a Sunday, and everyone who can, of course, being a Sunday, can be here. And the way that things are turning out you can see from the last lines of the announcement of the bulletin concerning the eating on that day. We haven't exactly yet crystallized what's going to happen, but we are still in the process of considering it. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, in today's gospel, we read of the situation where our Lord went into Jerusalem and wept over it. For he saw the condition of things and how dreadful they were. And he couldn't control himself, but wept over it. And much of what was said in today's gospel can be, with proper adjustments, be compared to what the situation is today amongst us. I will not go into a great lengthy discussion this morning, but as you know, in our bulletins for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we have been stressing just this type of problem that confronts us in these days of time and times, and that the problems are actually demanding, with unqualified strength, a demand that we must make decision. Not only must we make decision, but that we have to live by decision. So far, in the presentations, and today it gets a little bit more pointed, why we are forced into a situation of decision. So far, we have been on the completely negative side of things, because they are negative. Now, a lot of people complain, and a lot of people murmur, and a lot of people are dissatisfied, and a lot of people see the problem that presents itself, and all they do is talk about it, as far as offering a solution. Most people do not engage in giving a solution to the problem. It would appear from what we're saying in the bulletin that there is no solution. There's a strong appearance of that, that there is no solution. Now, the atmosphere in these sections that appear in the bulletin each week, beginning now, at least I think so, as they progress, I think the atmosphere in these little narratives is going to change. And it will begin to show. So far we've shown how the structure has been torn down, how the structure is in shambles. Now, what are we going to do about it? And we have to do something about it. There has to be a way out of this terrible crisis that we're in. And we are, with the gift of God, with the help of God, are going to try to show a way out. Maybe slow, maybe tedious, maybe difficult, but it is a way. And we are going to investigate that way and present it so that we can possibly put that way in our own little ways into practice. We are not, it is not my intention, it's not our intention here to discourage. It is certainly not our intention here to defame. It is not our intention here to be warlike, because you see so much of this today. Everybody seems to be fighting everybody else. They don't really know why they're fighting everybody else, but it's just going about wanting to punch somebody in the nose. And in too many of our Catholic churches, and especially in too many of our traditional, so-called traditional Roman Catholic churches, I think you might run into the atmosphere that you go to church, and the minute you step outside the door after service, you want to look for somebody to punch in the nose. Now that is not quite right, is it? Why do you come to church at all? Is it to build up fury inside of you so that you want to go out and hurt somebody, or to fight somebody, or to argue with somebody, or to debate with somebody? Is that why you come to church, to be re-enkindled, to build up this fire inside of you to go out and fight? There's someone that calls me up regularly, and his one is a priest, and his one encouragement to you is, you have got to go out and you have got to fight, because it is time to fight, you know. And after the fight, I ask myself, then what have I got? The element of prayer doesn't seem to be of any significant importance. And the problem with the world today is that I, the big I, you know, the big Mr. I, am the one who is going out, and I will change the situation, because I am fully capable of it. I have the strength, I have the intelligence, I have the ability, I have everything it's needed. I am going to change everything. I am the only one who has the correct answer. And don't anybody question my ability. Don't you dare. And so, Almighty God looks down, and he says, okay, Mr. I, if you're so smart, go do it. You don't need me. And so he's backed away, hasn't he? Now, he's needed to get entirely up to Mr. Me to go and do it. And what have we got? Confusion, worse, confounded. Now we have pointed that out. Now we're going to try to find that I really and truly am the last person on earth that anybody should approach to find out how to do it. And it has to be done in humility. It has to be done in patience. It has to be done in a spirit of prayer and penance and mortification. It is our mortification, whatever it is, joined on to the sufferings of Christ, that is going to go out and gather up those who are working so hard, who need to work, who are not working, but who need to work better and more determinedly toward the salvation of their souls. The salvation of my soul comes way under in importance to my going out and preaching on the street corners. I will get nothing done that way, but rather, if I stay in my little humble hut, in the quiet and the solitude of my little room, and there reach up and enlist a power that is far beyond comprehension. I can do that now. I am capable of that, to be able to approach that power And this is what each one of us, we've got the same power. Each one of us. And we have to put that power, and we have to ensure that power with a proper spirit of mortification. Today, penance and mortification are vices to be ignored like leprosy. Only the sick of mind speak of penance and mortification. Only the sick of mind. Nobody in his right mind should welcome penance and mortification, should not engage in penance and mortification. And yet, that is precisely what we're called upon to do. Why are we being called upon to do? Because to the degree, pay attention to this, to the degree, I speak in the first person, singular, to the degree that I love, to the degree that I love, to that degree, proportionately speaking, am I willing to suffer for the beloved? I will repeat. To the degree that I love, I'm not speaking of a sick kind of love that the world promotes today. To the degree that I love, to that degree proportionately, am I willing to suffer for the beloved? And it is in that suffering for my beloved, who is God, to that degree will I accomplish what I'm supposed to be accomplishing. So, my dear people, we're going on from there today, and let us think in terms of what is going to be required of us, what is going to be required of me, each me in this room this morning, what is to be required of each me that God is going to ask of us if this situation is to be corrected. In future days, we hope to present this to you with your prayer. God bless you.